Welcome to the Deep Dive from Pitcot. If you're like most people, your digital audio library is probably, well, dominated by the MP3.
Yeah, for sure. It's the original standard. It's just everywhere.
It is. But if you're listening to this, you care about sound quality, and I want to challenge you right now. That format is officially the sound of yesterday. We're here to give you the shortcut to the best, sharpest audio formats available today.
We are definitely peeling back the curtain on this entire landscape.
Yeah.
We've synthesized material from a really comprehensive guide to audio compression
mm-hmm.
developed by the experts at Pitcot.
Right.
And this is for you, the listener, whether you're a music lover curating a massive archive, a streamer, or just someone who appreciates, you know, crisp sound without these bloated file sizes. We're distilling the absolute key nuggets of knowledge.
And we're moving beyond just knowing what a format is. We want to dig into why these formats even matter.
Exactly. Some are masters at preserving subtle nuances. Some shrink file sizes like magic for instant loading. And the best ones manage in near-perfect balance of both.
So our mission today is pretty laser-focused. We are going to meticulously dissect the two foundational strategies. We're talking lossy versus lossless compression.
And we'll explore the specific champions in each category, you know, formats like FLAC, AC, and Ogg Vorbis.
The goal here is that when we finish this deep dive, you will have the practical knowledge you need to make informed choices about your entire audio life, from your phone to your, you know, your serious home stereo setup.
And every single decision in this whole arena really boils down to one fundamental trade-off.
One core conflict. Quality preservation versus file size reduction. And the technology that really solved this first was lossy compression.
Exactly. We have to start with lossy because, I mean, without it, we wouldn't have had portable digital music in the first place.
Not at all.
It's what allowed music libraries to jump from, you know, racks of CDs into our pockets on those early players.
Okay, but the term lossy, it sounds a little destructive. So let's break that down. Not just define it, but explain the genius behind it. How does it cut so much data while making the sacrifice almost imperceptible?
Well, the genius lies in psychoacoustics. Lossy compression is a system where data is selectively discarded. It's not random at all.
Right.
The algorithm leverages the fact that the human ear is, frankly, incredibly inefficient. It throws out audio information that we either physically cannot hear.
Like super high frequencies or something?
Exactly. Frequencies outside our range or sounds that are effectively masked by louder simultaneous sounds.
So we're talking about taking a giant audio file and just removing all the parts that the listener's brain is going to delete anyway. It's hyper-efficient data management.
That's a perfect way to put it. You take a quality hit, yes. But for most people, they don't actually perceive the loss.
And the result is a dramatically smaller file, which is why this approach is still so important for streaming, web delivery, all that stuff.
Correct. But we really need to look beyond MP3. Because while it's the OG, the original gangster, its technology is, well, it's pretty archaic compared to what's available now.
MP3 had its moment. It was a true revolution. But the Pitcot research calls it kind of outdated. So what exactly is wrong with the OG? And who showed up to challenge that dominance?
The problem with MP3 is that its original algorithms and its filter banks are just less refined. It's effective, but it's a bit of a brute force approach. Historically, Microsoft tried to challenge it with WMA.
WMA, Windows Media Audio. I remember that.
Yeah, WMA was efficient at compression,
yeah.
And it played really well in the Windows ecosystem, which gave it a boost in the early 2000s, especially for like platform launch streaming.
But the real game changer, the one that really took the MP3's throne in terms of efficiency, that has to be ASE.
That's advanced audio coding. It's what powers iTunes, Apple Music, and a huge portion of YouTube. And here's the critical insight. ASE consistently sounds better than MP3 at the exact same byte rate.
Wait, at the exact same byte rate?
The exact same byte rate. If you encode an MP3 at, say, 192 kilobits per second and an AAC file, the same 192, the AAC file is going to provide noticeably clearer audio.
And that's the ultimate goal, right? Getting superior sound from an identical file size. But if AAC is such a clear winner, why is MP3 still the default for so many professionals? You know, DJs, audio mixers, people exchanging tracks. Is it just compatibility?
That's a really sharp question. A massive part of it is the compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
MP3 is just universally supported.
Plays on anything.
On anything. But another factor was processing overhead. Early on, AC encoding was way more taxing on older computer systems than MP3 was. Now, that's totally irrelevant today. But those legacy habits,
yeah,
they persist in professional circles that value low latency and just, you know, simplicity.
Okay, but this is where it gets really interesting for me, because in the lossy space, there's an alternative that kind of refuses that corporate licensing model. Tell us about Ogvorbis.
Ogvorbis is the open source champion. It is completely patent-free, which is a massive ideological and practical advantage. Because of this freedom, it's been embraced widely in the gaming world and by major streaming platforms like Spotify. The technology lets developers iterate freely, and many claim its quality can rival or even exceed AAC, especially at lower byte rates. It's incredibly flexible.
So we have three viable, high-quality lossy options: AAC for efficiency and ubiquity, Ogvorbis for quality and its open principles, and then MP3, which is the reliable, if, you know, aging workhorse.
And for the listener, the practical choice here seems to hinge on that balance between compatibility and quality.
Absolutely. If you just need a file to play on every single device, no questions asked, MP3 is your answer.
But if you're willing to use slightly more modern players or apps, and we assume you are, given you're listening to this, then the jump to AAC or Ogvorbis is a pretty small hurdle that yields some significant sonic rewards.
It's a worthwhile investment of effort for better sound. And if you're finding these distinctions fascinating and want to explore the underlying math and algorithms behind these technologies, the Pitcot source we're using comes from their acclaimed best-selling ebooks.
You can find more information about all their guides and resources by visiting www.pitcot.com. We really recommend checking it out.
And that brings us to the next level. If you're someone for whom a tiny hit to quality is completely unacceptable,
then we have to shift the conversation entirely. We have to talk about lossless compression.
Right. This is the domain of perfection. This is where we start making trade-offs and start demanding an exact replica of the original sound.
Precisely. Lossless formats are archives. They do not discard a single bit of audio data. When you compress a file using this method, it's like using a perfect zip file.
Okay.
When you unpack it, you have the exact original source material. This is how you hear the music exactly as the artist intended. Every subtle echo, every detail on the high end, every breath.
But if they don't discard any data, how do they manage to compress the file size at all? Is it just like sophisticated file rearrangement?
It's highly intelligent data optimization. So think of it less as removing data and more like writing instructions. Instead of saving red, 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 blue, blue, you save three reds, two blues. It finds patterns and redundancies in the data and represents them mathematically with fewer bits, achieving significant savings without altering the underlying information.
And when we talk about lossless, the absolute reigning champion, the format that has earned the loyalty of serious music collectors worldwide, is FLAC.
FLAC, the Free Lossless Audio Codec. It is the gold standard for archival quality. And like Ogvorbis, it is open source and incredibly versatile, which has just propelled its adoption across almost all high-fidelity players and platforms.
The revolutionary part of FLAC is that combination of efficiency and that quality guarantee. It can compress an original CD-quality audio track to about half its original size with absolutely zero loss in quality.
Zero.
That's an identical copy, just mathematically squeezed.
It's the key metric right there.
Yeah.
It provides the quality of the original file, but it cuts the storage requirements dramatically, is what makes high-fidelity archiving actually practical.
But for the absolute diehard perfectionists, there are even more niche options out there, right? Ones that push the boundaries of compression even further.
Oh, yeah. Now we're getting into the deep cuts, the formats sworn by people who consider sound quality a sacred mission.
I love it. Tell us about them.
Well, we could look at Monkeys Audio, also known as APE.
APE.
APE is famous for its, well, its insane compression ratios. It also squeezes files even tighter than FLAC while maintaining every single tiny sound. The drawback, and it's a significant one, is its poor support.
So it's not going to play on my phone easily.
Probably not. It requires dedicated software and has a much higher processing overhead for decoding. It's really for enthusiasts who value that size reduction above all else and don't mind the compatibility headaches.
And then there's a nod to history, right? A format that helped build the underground world of music trading.
That would be SHN or Shorten. It's truly a vintage gem. It's largely been superseded by FLAC, of course, but you still see it used in very specific music trading circles.
Like for bootlegs.
Especially for vintage bootlegs or live concert recordings. SHN was designed to handle continuous audio streams really effectively, making it perfect for preserving raw live recordings without introducing distortion or artifacts. It has deep, deep roots in that trading community.
So we've established that lossless formats deliver ultimate sonic purity, but Let me challenge the premise for a second. If most casual listeners can't really perceive the difference between, say, a high bitrate AAC file and a FLAC file, isn't lossless compression simply expensive overkill for 99% of users? The files are still enormous.
That's a great question, and the answer really depends entirely on your setup and your intent.
Okay.
If you're listening through $20 headphones on a commuter train, no, you won't hear the difference. But if you've invested in a quality DAC high-end speakers, or if your primary goal is future-proofing your library.
Ah, future-proofing.
Exactly. Ensuring that you retain the master copy to be re-encoded into whatever superior format is invented 5 years from now, then lossless isn't overkill, it's insurance. The space is absolutely warranted if you view the sound as sacred.
That reframes the purpose beautifully. It's not just about what you can hear now, but what you can guarantee you'll have later.
You're preserving the DNA of the music.
Okay, let's shift to practical application. We need to do the vibe check. Give the listener a clear-cut guide on matching the format to their actual lifestyle. Not everyone needs studio-level sound every second of the day.
Right, but choosing correctly makes a huge difference if you are archiving, DJing, or just enjoying Spotify. So this is the essential guide synthesized from the Pitcott research, matching the use case to the format.
Perfect. Okay, scenario one, I'm prioritizing portability. I need decent sound for my commute or the gym, but storage is my biggest limitation. What's the clear winner?
For portability and minimal storage, you stick to lossy, specifically AAC.
Not MP3.
No, because AAC is significantly more efficient than MP3 at the same size. It just delivers the superior mobile experience, hands down.
Okay, next. What if I'm building my dream dedicated home audio setup? I've got Serious speakers, I'm a Serious collector, and I need the absolute best quality available.
That is FLAC territory. No question. FLAC is the non-negotiable format for Serious collectors or home audio setups that demand that uncompromised, crystal-clear music experience. It's the highest quality you can distribute digitally that still has wide support. All right. What if I'm a developer or just a user who really values the philosophy of open technology? I want great quality, but I also want zero proprietary controls or licensing fees tied to my files. Then you champion Ogg Vorbis. It gives you that open source preference and fantastic quality without any corporate strings attached. Its adoption by major platforms like Spotify really validates its quality, and that freedom appeals to a lot of people.
And finally, for the true niche use cases, the person trading rare live recordings or archived masters who needs the tightest possible preservation.
Those specialized needs, they lead you toward Monkey's Audio APE for maximum compression, or Shorten SHN for that specific archival integrity in the vintage trading community. You deal with the limited support because the specific fidelity is your number one priority.
So we've covered the entire spectrum, from universally compatible to intensely niche. The final takeaway seems to be there's no single perfect format.
Not at all.
The savvy audio consumer uses a mix of formats depending on the situation, you know, speed and small files for mobile life, and pure, unadulterated sound quality for archival and home listening.
Absolutely. The main discovery here is that you now have the conceptual framework to navigate this often confusing world. Understanding audio compression isn't rocket science, but it is essential for informed listening and archiving. You now get the nuances of that quality size trade-off.
You understand the quality trade-off and what that means for your ears and your library. And since AAC already outperforms MP3 so convincingly at the same bitrate, here's a final provocative thought for you to mull over.
Ooh, I like this.
Ultimately, will the quiet, persistent strength of open-source, patent-free, lossless options like FLAC penetrate mainstream streaming services because of archiving needs? Or will the push be driven simply by a listener expectation of higher fidelity? Which force will finally kill the MP3?
That tension. That tension between archival necessity and consumer demand is what's going to define the next decade of digital audio. And remember, all the insights and in-depth analysis for this deep dive came from the comprehensive guides authored by Pitcott.
For those of you who want to explore these subjects further, including all the complex principles behind these formats, the source material is available via best-selling ebooks on the Pitcott store.
To download those and gain even deeper insight into these topics and so much more, visit www.pitcott.com/r/books.
And please remember to subscribe to our channel if you haven't already.
And activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, press the like button if you love our show. It helps tremendously in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find it too. Thank you for being there with us for this deep dive into digital audio formats.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. You can find more of our resources by visiting www.pitcot.com. I will leave a link in the description below.